It's been a great day already. Great time of worship. Now I want us to look at some challenging lessons from the Psalms for the next however many weeks we have together. That's dependent upon how many storms come our way and how often we meet on Sunday nights, but hopefully for about 10 Sunday evenings, I'm going to be sharing some challenging lessons from the Psalms. Now, if you are the kind of person that goes to our website, if you'll go there this week, I've placed a kind of a guideline there for your own personal Bible study of looking at the book of Psalms, kind of an outline for you to go by. But in here on Sunday nights, we're going to take just some of the simple Psalms and see the great lessons that God has for each of us personally. Now, one of the things about the Psalms is they're such a wide, vast array of issues that are dealt with in the book of Psalms. We think of the Psalms as a time to sing praise to God. But there are many Psalms that talks about the song of the wounded soul also. From the depths of David falling into sin and him being so disturbed by his own sin that he couldn't sleep at night, his bones ached, his eyes hurt, he was restless when he went to bed, all the way to the great Psalms of praise. There's such a wide range there. And it is obvious as you read through the Psalms that it will deal with every facet of life. As we heard about this morning, going through troubled times, you'll hear about that as you read the Psalms. You'll have answers also as you read, as how you deal with these wounded moments in your soul, whether it is personally because of your own sin, or if it's a wound from a dear friend or a family member, someone totally unexpected wounded you. You'll read about that in the Psalm. But in the first lesson I want us to look at is found in Psalm 1. Most of you know this psalm. You're very familiar with it. You've read it maybe 100 times, maybe more. And it talks about how we are blessed. Now, one writer said this, it's not doing the thing we like to do, but liking the thing we have to do that makes life blessed. There are others who've said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for their sticking to their diets. The idea of being blessed can mean going through a trial, but doing it God's way. It can also be the idea of happiness that comes to life, joy that comes to life. Benjamin Franklin said, blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed. Well, that was kind of a negative view to life. But here the psalmist gives us a very positive framework for life, for every believer to live by. As you see in verse 1 of Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, that's a word I want us to focus on tonight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. A couple of months ago, as I was reading through this psalm, I went back to some quiet time notes I had written in my journal back in the 1990s as I was studying through this book. And I came across these words again that I had never seen this from this particular perspective. As you know, the more you grow in Christ, the more He shows you from His Word. And you can read something 100 times and not catch it. Many of you know me from me coming to teach your Sunday school class. And those of you where I taught your Sunday school class, you know that I bring up the subject of anger real often. You know that, Bud? Scott, you understand that. That comes up a lot when dealing with it. I don't know if it's because I'm such an angry person, or I really think it's because God dealt with me so severely years ago of being an angry person. But when I read this psalm and I saw this passage, but His delight, whose delight? Look back at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. This person who is not ungodly, this person who walks in the counsel of God, this is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord. As I began to think about that, I realized in my own life, and for literally thousands of people, I've either counseled in a one-on-one situation or in a group setting where I've led conferences, I realized that there's a great lesson here in Psalm 1, and that is anger and delight do not mix. You can't mix these two. You cannot at the same time have a deep anger over an issue or a person or an event and at the same time have a great delight in your life. I mean, if there's anything I wish I could teach people, and I hope that as maybe one day when my funeral takes place, people could say, is there's one thing Carrie often tried to do, and that was teach us that life is too short to live it as an angry person. It is such a waste in life to live as an angry person. Now, in our day, with the storm that we've just been through, there are all kinds of ways to respond to this in life. I mean, you could be angry at God because He allowed this. He permitted this. There are people who are angry at other people because they didn't do the right thing. There are angry people because they believe other people thought they did the right thing, but they didn't do the right thing. There are people who are mad at people who left pets behind. There's all kinds of reasons why people get angry. I mean, just think about it for a moment. Have you been angry this week? Ask that person next to you. They can probably tell you. And one of the things I always like to do when I'm talking about this subject, it's so real and personal, is ask this question. Can your spouse or your parent or your child tell when you're mad? Can they? I want a commitment from you. Y'all having a hard time getting that up, aren't you? You think this is a trick, don't you? Now, as we talked about in Walking in the Spirit series, the fact is that the fruit of the Spirit has nothing to do with other people. The fruit of the Spirit is between you and God. But anger is one of those things where, you know, people can tell when you're mad. Now, you can't tell when just anybody is mad, but you can tell when people are mad at least those people you know very well. Galatians 5:19 says, the works of the flesh are obvious. They're evident. They're manifest. I mean, if you know a person very well at all, you know when they're mad. But of course, when you get mad, and they tell you, you're mad, what do you say? I am not mad. I'm just tired. I've just had a bad day. I'm not mad. It is amazing that we think we can see anger in other people, but we don't think they can see it in us. You see, if someone had to ask you this week, are you mad? You probably were. Maybe they judged you wrong. Maybe you really weren't mad. But I've noticed that when I think someone is mad, or if I think I'm mad, it's usually not because I'm exhibiting so much love, joy, and peace. Have you seen many marriages that are torn apart by harmony and goodwill? No, that's not usually the case. It's not delight, but anger that tends to tear things down. And when we read this lesson in the Psalms, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. God challenged me when I read that and said, Carrie, if your delight is not in my word, you're not living as a godly man. You're living like the ungodly. Because if you were reading my word and meditating on my word and letting it flow over your heart and mind, there would be great delight in your life. And if there is an absence of delight, there is probably a presence of disturbance in your life. Many times it is anger. It may surface as something else. It may be jealousy. It may be envy. But the fact is, anger and delight simply don't mix. You can't have those two present at the same time, in the same moment, over the same issue. You're going to have one or the other. But your delight, then that word means your pleasure, should be in the law of the Lord. Now, if you are delighting in God's word, it will so infiltrate your mind and heart that it will come out in every area of your life. In John 14, Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I want you to love me. I'm going to give you my spirit. And this spirit's going to guide you and comfort you and teach you. And all you have to do is obey my commandments. You don't get in trouble when you're obeying God's commandments. Oh, you may get in trouble by other people, but you don't get in trouble with God by obeying His commandments. It's when you're doing the wrong thing you get in trouble with God. But when you are delighting yourself, meditating on God's Word, it brings refreshment to your soul and every fiber of your being. In verse 2 again, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates, how often? Day and night. Meditates. This is not transcendental meditation. This is focusing on, thinking on, observing, applying to life everything God has spoken to you about. Have you ever been doing the wrong thing and you open your Bible up and you read a verse of Scripture and that verse of Scripture told you you were sinful for doing what you're doing? That's not a pleasant experience, is it? You're not delighted when you're going against God's Word. There will be delight in your life when you are faithful in meditating in God's Word, on God's Word, applying it to your life, and living it out. Blessed are you when you do that. Let me tell you, the life of anger is just not worth living. It's miserable. Now, you may not be miserable if you've been living in it long enough, because that's the way you know how to operate now. But everybody else is around you that knows you very well, if that has become the way you live and there is no delight in God's Word in your life and you're living out an angry, miserable life, everybody else around you is miserable. A few years ago, I was speaking at a conference in Central Texas. There were about 40 churches there had gotten together and invited me to come and lead a three-day conference there. And so I went, and the pastor of the church where this meeting was being hosted asked if I would stay with this particular family, and I agreed to. And the first night after our session, we go back to these people's house, and they began to tell me a story. They told me about a man in their church that was the angriest man they knew. And they said, "Kerry, we have a prayer group that meets here in our home every Tuesday night, and we pray for this guy because he is so miserable and he's making everybody else's life miserable. His wife, people at church, and we've been praying for him." And this man in this home where I was staying said to me, "Kerry, let me tell you the bad news. The bad news is I recommended this guy for a job at the place where I work, and they hired him. And everybody at work hates me now because I recommended this guy. Because he is so angry and enraged. He claims to be a Christian. He says he has accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, but there's no evidence in his life. There is no peace. There is no joy. It's just a mess. And I am in the middle of it at church and at work. And I don't know what to do." And I said, "Well, why don't we get your group together and pray that God would have this man come to one of our sessions. And maybe afterwards I would get a chance to talk with him." So we did. We gathered up the prayer group and we prayed, and I asked them, "Would you be praying the next 2 days while I'm still here, and that we'd get an opportunity to share with him?" Well, it was the last night I was speaking, and they had given me a description of this man. And they said, "When he comes in the building, if you see him when he comes in, you will know it's him because he looks mad." And so I was up teaching that night, and this man comes in about 10 minutes after I'd started. He walks down and he sits down over in this section. And I said, "That's got to be the man." Well, it just so happens that that night I'm teaching on anger. Can you believe God would do something like that? And so I finished teaching, and I'd said things like, "If your anger is sin, you're just a repentant prayer away from being back in fellowship with God. Don't blame your anger on everybody else. If it is sin, it is your problem, and only God can deal with it, but you'll have to go directly to God to deal with this." And so we finished the session. I offered a time for prayer for people, and I closed out the session. The director of missions was there. Several pastors were there. And I walked down to the front, and I'm standing there just talking with people after the session's over. And I heard this loud voice over to my left, and I looked. This guy had walked down, and he had found the pastor, and he was pointing at me. And he said, "I want to see that guy, and I want to see him right now." That's not a good sign. I'm not sure I was delighting at that point. So the pastor came over and said, "This guy wants to talk with you, and this is the guy we've been praying for." I said, "All right." So we went back to the choir rehearsal room, and we sat down. The pastor was in a chair, this guy, and I'm seated here. And this guy begins to let me have it about how awful his life is. Now you see, this man was not blessed. He believed Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior. But he wasn't walking in the counsel of the godly. He was walking in the counsel of the ungodly. There was no delight in his life. There was just anger. And he began to tell me, a few weeks ago at church, I went forward at the invitation, I got on my knees and prayed, and I asked God to forgive me for being such an angry man, but he hasn't changed me. And I'm mad at God. He has turned his back on me. My wife has turned her back on me. She's leaving tomorrow. She's leaving me. She's going to another state. She said she'll never be back. The church has turned her back on me. Nobody's for me. Now, have you ever talked to a real angry person? They don't make a lot of sense. When you're mad, you speak and you can't think straight when you're mad. And this guy's not thinking straight. Because, see, it's not true that God turned his back on him. Are these people? These people were praying for him, wanting to find a way to help him. And I looked at him and I said, sir, God hasn't turned his back on you. You have turned your back on God. I said, you are a very confused man right now. You are not making sense. He said, you better believe it. I know I'm confused. I know I'm not making sense because all these people turned against me and nobody's for me. I said, you're a confused man. He said, yeah, I guess I am. I said, okay, I want you to listen to me. You're confused. I'm not. I want you to be quiet and listen to me. And then I was watching to see if he'd swing or not. But he didn't. God used that, and all of a sudden he said, you're right. And I reached over and I put my arm around him and I began to pray for him. The pastor put his arm around him, began to pray for him. And this guy just began to weep. You know why? He was returning to God. When you return to God, there will be a blessedness that comes back to your life. If you have strayed away from Him and you haven't been delighting yourself in God's Word and you return to His Word, it will bring refreshment to the soul. This past week, several of us from the church on several different trips went to Biloxi, to the church that we've partnered with. There are two other churches that you can pray with during this time that have partnered with us with the church in Biloxi, and that's Calvary Baptist in Dothan, Alabama, and Morningside Baptist in Columbus, Georgia, and Cottage Hill are partnering with Lemoyne Boulevard Baptist Church. And we went over there to talk with them about an arrangement of how we could coordinate help for them. And after that, we asked them to take us for a ride back through the neighborhood that had been so devastated. And this morning, you saw a video of part of that area we went through. And we're going to watch it again here in just a moment. But I want you to watch it from a little bit different perspective. We drove back in this neighborhood. The student minister said, I want to take you back by some of our church members. And this guy, their names are the Foxes, but this man's wife leads our children's worship for us. And they've just been totally devastated. They had a two-story brick home, and there was nothing left. I mean, you could barely find a brick. And they're sitting out there in lawn chairs waiting for FEMA to come by. And we were driving by, and it may have been Alan that pointed out, said, those are some of our church members. I said, well, let's just stop and pray with them. And so we stopped, and we walked up to their foundation because that was all that was left. And as soon as we walked up, Mr. Fox stood up, the one you saw on the video this morning. Here's what he said. Let me just tell y'all how blessed we are. Let me tell you how blessed we are. There was nothing fake about it. It was real. You see, he had something that money can't buy. He was learning in the midst of adversity to delight himself in God. And we walked up there thinking, y'all have probably done this kind of thing before, we're going to get to minister to these people. And they ministered to us. And while Mr. Fox spoke, the rest of us wept. Let me tell you, you'll know the difference when you talk with a person, whether anger is ruling their heart or delight of God's Word is ruling their heart. Now, with that in mind, as we walked up, he told us how blessed he was. And then he shared this testimony that we heard this morning. But I want you to see it again this evening.
Lady at my lives in a retirement community, and they took up a collection of people that are on a fixed income. And there's a lady that took a $1 bill, stuck it in an envelope, and said, "It's all I can do. I wish it could be more." And it touched my heart so much because I remembered the lady with the two copper coins in the Bible, and that's all she had. And that's what she put in the coin box. And here's a lady that I've never met this lady. I wouldn't know her if she walked up and patted me on the back. But she put what she could in an envelope just to help us. And it's those kind of things. Just touch your heart and bless you so much. Yeah, they make you cry and you get in touch with your emotions. But I'm just more blessed than I could ever be. When we laughed the other day, I talked to my dad and I tried to make him understand. And I said, "Bill Gates does not know the blessings that I've had and never will. The friends that I have, my church family, people who've just come by and said, 'Hey, is there anything, what can we help you do?'" Just so blessed with that.
Only God can give you that perspective.
That's right.
He's the only one.
That's it. That's it. We're just so blessed to have all of our family. Nobody was hurt. We've got clothes and we've got a future and we got another chance to try to get it a little more right than what we thought it was before.
Let's pray together.